That is so nice, isn't it? This in October, it's still this warm. Okay, so this morning we're carrying on with our looking at our favourite verses. And on the back of your new sheets, you will see the ones that I've chosen for this morning. They're from Isaiah. And does anyone want to claim these as their verses? That they don't have to be your only favourite verses. You can have more than one favourite verse. But if these are verses that have that you've had or that you come to, it's one of the things that build up your faith or encourage you. Anybody? Would you like to say something about them?
Okay. To me, it's a picture of worship. You know, my heart is for worshiping God, and it's a picture of what happens when you come to God in your weakness and in your powerlessness and in your exhaustion. And if you don't really have to do a whole lot, but if your heart is to worship Him, then He does all these things. He renews your strength, and He lifts you up on wings like eagles. I can't explain how or why, but that's what He does. And yes, to me, it's a picture of worship, and that's why I love it.
There are lots of reasons why I love Isaiah 40. We had it at our wedding, which is one reason. Also, I think as soon as you just start it, I just can't help but start thinking of singing from the Messiah, because there's a lot that's in the Messiah, in Handel's Messiah, that comes from here. Also, I think the language is absolutely amazing. I love the reference to grasshoppers, which is in the verse 22. Inhabitants are like grasshoppers. You know, it's wonderful, isn't it? And then, of course, what you've put on the news sheet is just so encouraging. That aspect is just as to actually what happens when you wait for the Lord. I think that's wonderful.
Was it your favourite one as well?
Yeah, it has been actually. It's always been a favourite verse of mine. And I think especially now, as one gets older, you think those that trust in the Lord will find new strength. And I think that is at any age and any time of life. And we can run and not grow weary and walk and not faint is great.
Vicky. This has been a favorite of mine on a more practical thing, I suppose. When I first went to Kyrgyzstan and thought I was going for 2-year teaching contract, and they knew the Lord wanted me to stay and do things I'd never done before, and I just thought, you know, I can't. And then I realized, well, of course I can't, but God can. And if you trust in Him, even though you don't know what the next step is going to be, you'll soar high on eagle's wings. And that has always been such a fantastic encouragement to me. And actually, my mom and I were talking about that this week, because we know God's got us going to Wales for something more than an affordable bungalow. But we don't know what. But we're trusting, and we'll just see how the path unfolds. But we know He's got a plan.
Thank you.
It says about trusting in the Lord, and you'll find new strength. Well, it brought to mind that when you, whatever's happening to you in your life, you have to trust Him. Whatever's going on in your life, but you need to thank Him and praise Him as well for all that's going on in your life, whether it's good or bad, because He says to say thank you to Him in all your situations and circumstances. So it's always that you need to give thanks to the Lord, whatever He's doing in your life, that you must remember to say thank you to Him, because when you say thank you and praise Him, He changes things for you.
Yep. Thank you. It's good to hear what everyone sort of thinks, because we all see different things and it means different things to us at different times. Just picking up on what Anne said, I didn't put it in my notes, but when I was reading sort of looking at these verses in the week, I found something that I don't know if it's right, which is why I didn't necessarily stick it in my actual notes. But apparently, certainly in the ancient times, they believed that as the eagles got old, they actually shed their feathers. I don't know if you know this, Vicky. They shed their feathers and they grow new feathers, which is how, when it talks about the eagles renewing, you renew your strength like eagles, that's actually what happened, that they would lose their feathers and then grow these new ones. But it was in old age that they would lose the old feathers and grow the new feathers. But I didn't have time to look up and see whether that was actually right. But I thought, if it is right, it's beautiful. Yeah. So, anyway, that was just a little aside. So, we're going to look at these verses. Actually, I want to read them to you. They are from the New Living Translation. I want to read verse 28 as well. So, I'll just read. Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. So, these are our favourite verses for today. Just to put them in context, at the beginning of Isaiah chapter 40, the people of Judah are in captivity in Babylon. Seems like a lot of our favourite passages and verses have come out of passages where people are in difficult circumstances and situations, isn't it? And it's no different here. And there was one big question that was looming large for the exiles. You know, they'd failed God, they'd disobeyed him, they'd gone against what he said, and they'd now found themselves in exile. And the question that they were asking themselves was, would God work again amongst them? Would God still want them as his people, or would he abandon them? Could God act in this place of exile? Could he do anything about their situation? And Isaiah chapter 40 onto 55 is God addressing this with the people. Richard said, Isaiah 40 is in the Messiah, and the first part of it starts with those words, comfort my people. And then the chapter goes on with God just speaking to Israel and reminding them about who he is and how great he is. And then we come to these verses that we're looking at here. And it's almost like preceded by a bit of a hymn of praise when God is saying, almost like, look who I am, remember who I am, look at the stars, look around you. You know, you see me, you know me, remember who I am and what I can do. And it's almost like a hymn of praise. It's a proclamation of God's forgiveness for the people. So, in our passage, verse 28, it starts, have you never heard? Have you never understood? What is it that he's asking us? Have we never heard or understood? He goes on to tell us there are four things. He says, have you never understood that the Lord is the everlasting God? Because if we forget that, if we forget that God was there before the beginning, he's going to be there into eternity, then we start to limit God, don't we? We start to restrict him. We change him from this everlasting God to a sort of a limited God. And God says, you know, Have you not understood? Have you not remembered? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. The God who has existed from eternity, not unlike the idols that they had worshipped, which was what had taken them into exile in the first place, where they had chosen these idols over this almighty God, this everlasting God. And so he's reminding them, you know, what brought you into exile is that you limited God. What brought you into exile was that you looked for answers in wood and stones instead of this everlasting God. And then he says, it says, the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. You know, the God who created the whole earth, who created you and me. He says, we need to understand that this everlasting God, this creator of the earth, couldn't get exhausted, couldn't become weary. It's not in his nature. And would, if the God who created all of this, everything that we can see in the heavens and more, if God can create that and not get weary, why would he be weary of little people like us? Why would we cause him to become tired? He doesn't grow weary of protecting his people. And it goes on to say he never grows weak or weary. He doesn't do that. Remember when Elijah is with the prophets of Baal and they're calling on Baal to come and set fire to the offering and the altar. And one of the things that Elijah taunts them with is, you know, is your God asleep? Is your God having a rest? Is he too tired? And Elijah was saying, you know, but the God I serve, he never sleeps. He never slumbers. He never tires. He never says, oh, I need a break. Just go away, all of you. I just need a break. God doesn't do that. He says we need to know that. He never grows weak or weary. A lot of the time, we try and understand God in the way that we see ourselves. And so we almost can't comprehend that, you know, we get tired and weary, so surely God must. God isn't like us. You know, there are characteristics that we have that are like God, but he's not got the limitations that we've got. And then they're saying, have you never understood that no one can measure the depths of his understanding? We think we're so clever, don't we? You know, our scientists are discovering incredible things and amazing things, and we're so proud, aren't we, of our knowledge and the things that we think we know. And yet we forget, don't we, that years ago we thought we understood things and we were proud and we thought we got knowledge. And today we're looking and thinking we understand everything. And actually, the more we think we understand, the more we realise that we don't know. And, you know, that capacity within us to understand everything, our minds can't do it. But there's no limit to what God understands. Well, of course he understands everything. He created everything. He's in everything. He does everything. We breathe because of God. We can't understand it, but God says, have you not understood that actually you can't understand? That actually you've got to just accept that I am bigger, I'm greater. I'm more magnificent than anything that you could do. And remember that he's speaking this to a people who have been in exile, who have lost hope, who are thinking that maybe God doesn't care. And so he's having to remind them of these things. Verse 29 says, he gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Only think, even if we just thought about those words this morning, he gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. These people who've had all power taken away from them, they've lost everything. They've lost their homes. They've lost their jobs. Anything that they have now is only what the Babylonians allow them to have. They, the work that they do, the homes that they live in, the food that they eat, they're dependent on them. If they don't give it to them, they don't have it. They have no power. And they're weak, aren't they? They can't do anything. They've got no authority. We talk a lot today, don't we? There's, in the news and over recent years, when we've talked about we need to empower people. We need to empower women. We need to empower workers to be able to go on and do things and do more. It's all about having more power, more control, giving people a say and enabling them to influence their future and their destiny. So for the people that Isaiah is writing to, and for us, these words are really powerful, because God's saying that if we know him, if we understand his power and strength, and that he's in control, that in our weakness and powerlessness, he'll strengthen us and lift us up. That is very different from us striving to get that for ourselves, isn't it? It's not saying that we just sit back and we just wait for things to happen. We need to be active, but we don't need to strive in the way that perhaps we would under normal circumstances. And Paul knew this, didn't he? When he tells us in Corinthians, you know, where he's talking about how he has his thorn in the flesh, and he asks God to take it away. Three times, he says this, three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecutions and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. It turns everything that we know and understand in a worldly sense, it turns it all on its head, doesn't it? Because it's all about striving, achieving more, doing more, taking more. And sometimes it means you step on people to get to where you want, that you almost have to push other people aside to be where you are. And God says, it's not like that at all. In your weakness, in those times when you feel, I can't do it. I haven't got the strength to do it. I haven't got the ability to do it. And God says, well, give me that. Give me your weakness. Give me your frailty. Give me your lack of understanding and see what I can do with it. And that's so much more powerful than if we've done it ourselves, because what people see is God taking ordinary people like us and doing extraordinary things through us. You know, it brings him glory when we give him our weakness, when we ask him to step in where we've come to the end of ourselves. How amazing is that? For Paul, he still had whatever had afflicted him. It wasn't taken away, but in that he discovered God's strength, didn't he? He found God's strength working through him and in him. And every time that, whatever it was, we don't know what it was, but every time that thing afflicted him, he was reminded of how strong God was, how able God was in his circumstances. Sometimes when things come to us that we struggle with, and maybe, you know, maybe it's illness, maybe, you know, it's depression or whatever it is, and we think, oh no, God, how can I serve you with this? And God says, let me do it. Let me take that thing. So we go on to verse 30, and it says, even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. We will all get tired. We will all have those times when we just think, you know what, I can't do any more. Even young people have that. That's true, that's why they sleep so long. When they go to bed and don't get up till midday. Of course they can be active the rest of the time when they have that much sleep. They get tired. You know, we're human. It's part of who we are and how our bodies work and that. And God's saying, you know, you look at the young people, you look at those, the young, like for the Jews, you know, you've got this generation that have come up and you look at them and you think, oh, you know, maybe there's a future for them, but there isn't for us. But actually, you know, they have the same struggles. They are facing the same things. They're going to have to make the same decisions. We're not machines. We all have times when circumstances overwhelm us and when we feel like we can't go on. But, and that's the beginning of the next verse, verse 31, but. It's such a little word, isn't it? And yet in that word, everything turns. Amen. Everything changes in that little word, but. You might be weak and powerless, you might be tired and weary and exhausted, but it doesn't have to stay like that. What does it say? It says, but those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. So what changes that but those who trust in the Lord? Actually, if you look in the different translations, some of them say those who wait in the Lord, or those who hope in the Lord, and I was looking and thinking, oh, I wonder why there are those differences. But actually, it's the Hebrew word that's used there is, I don't know how you pronounce it. It's kavah, Q-A-V-A-H, and in some translations, it's translated as the word wait, but the actual meaning of the word, there are sort of three sort of parts to it. But the main bit is, it means to bind together. So perhaps like twisting strands together to make, like making a rope. It also can mean look patiently, or tarry or wait, and hope, expect, and look eagerly. And I was looking at that and thinking, okay, so you can see why some people would translate it as wait, some people would translate it as hope, and some people trust. And I thought, actually, if that's right, if it's about binding strands together, then surely all those strands are there when we come to God. That word, that waiting, we hope and expect, don't we, as we're waiting. It's not just I'll just sit here. Bit like Eeyore, I'll sit here and, you know, maybe something will happen and maybe it won't. And it's a sort of a waiting where we're waiting with hope, with expectation, trusting God that he is going to do something and change that situation. So in doing that, as we wait with hope and expectation, as we're trusting God, we're going to find new strength. And I don't know if you have noticed, but there are several places in the Bible, aren't there, where we're told to wait. Wait for the Lord. Wait on the Lord. I wonder why we're encouraged sometimes to wait. I think because in those times of waiting, often that's where we find times of blessing. But waiting is one of the most difficult things to do, isn't it? Well, I think it is. I think I can wait for a certain amount of time, but then I start to think that maybe things aren't happening quickly enough. So then I start to try and arrange things so that they happen a bit quicker. And it's usually at those points that things normally fall apart and I end up waiting longer than I would have done if I'd have just been patient in the first place. But waiting's hard because of that, because we're fallen human beings, aren't we? And we do want to take control. That's what happened with Adam and Eve. They wanted to take control. And that's part of who we are. So we are prone to take matters into our own hands. And with modern technology, everything is so fast, isn't it? You know, we sort of do things on the internet and we send an order and it's gone so quick that you almost haven't had a chance to think about what you've done and whether you really wanted that thing, or maybe that's just me. But you know, things are so quick, life is so fast, things happen so quickly that waiting has become something that we really struggle with. But what is important is how we wait. If we think about that rope, that we're waiting with hope, and that it's all wound together, if as we wait, we're not hoping, that's when we become disillusioned. That's when things tend to fall apart. Psalm 130, verses 5 and 6 says this, "I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than the watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning." And if you think about it, there's the watchman waiting for the morning. He's not just waiting for time to pass, is he? He's not just sitting there waiting and thinking, oh, well, the morning's coming. If he's a watchman, he's looking out for something. His eye is on the horizon. He's waiting for that sun to rise. He's waiting for the light to come into the darkness, for the warmth to come after a cold night. It's not just a sitting back waiting. It's more than that. There's an expectation. There's an anticipation. And the psalmist says, I wait for the Lord with my whole being. I wonder when we're waiting in those times when God has asked us to wait, if that's how we wait, whether we're looking to the horizon, whether we're looking above what our situation and our circumstances are, and we're looking for that light in the distance, for that sign that things are changing, that the answer is coming. It may be a very long night that we're watching and waiting, but it's not a night where we give up. We're still looking, we're still focused on what God is doing. And so God's saying that if we look to him, if we trust him, put our hope in him, we will find new strength. He says we will soar high on wings like an eagle. And what a magnificent bird an eagle is, isn't it? You know, I don't think I've ever seen one in the wild flying, but I've seen it on the television and I've watched it, and the power, and it's just awesome to watch. And the thing that you notice about eagles is that they hardly flap their wings, do they? They just sort of soar and hover. And I think that's what makes them so wonderful to watch. It's almost like, you know, when you watch a kite in the sky, and it's almost like you can't see how they're actually moving. But it's just slight adjustments to the wing. But they're allowing those thermals, that air beneath their wings, to take them and to carry them. And they know how to ride those thermals. And one of the words used to describe the Holy Spirit is that he is like a wind, the ruach, the wind of God. And you know, as believers, that's one of the things that we really need to learn to do, is to how to find that wind of the Holy Spirit beneath our wings, and to be able to move with him, to allow him to move us and to direct us, for us to allow him to lift us up above those circumstances and situations that we find ourselves in. If we would just open our wings and allow the Holy Spirit to lift us, we'd be like that eagle. And we'd be able to rise above our circumstances. On Facebook, yesterday, the day before, my brother-in-law had shared something which I thought was quite funny as I was talking on this. And it was actually a picture of an eagle. Now, again, I haven't had a chance to check if this is true, but it's a good illustration, even if it's not. But so I'll read to you what it said. It said, "Do you know what an eagle does when a storm is coming? The eagle will fly to a high spot and wait for the storm to arrive. When the storm hits, the eagle will move its wings so that the wind will pick it up and lift it above the storm. While the storm rages below, the eagle soars above. The eagle doesn't escape the storm. It simply uses the storm to lift it higher." You know, sometimes we allow the storms of life to buffet us, to knock us around, to keep us down. But if we could allow the Holy Spirit to lift us, he will lift us above those storms. We don't avoid them, but we get carried through them. And then the verse goes on, doesn't it, to say that they will run and not grow weary, they will walk and not faint. And when you think for the Jewish people that were in exile, the journey back to Jerusalem, not just the physical journey, but just the waiting and the way that God was going to work things so that they would be allowed to go back to Jerusalem, was going to be a long journey. It wasn't going to be something that was going to happen tomorrow. And so they needed to be able to run without growing weary, to not to become weary of waiting for God. And there are times, isn't there, when I've watched people running the marathon, I mean, something I will never do, but when you watch people running the marathon, they start off, don't they, and they're all, you know, going and they're all waving and yes, everything's fine and the first few miles they're all, and then you watch the middle section and you've still got a few that are running, but then you've got the ones that have got to the walking stage. And then it's like in that middle section, if anybody is going to give up, that's where they give up, because they've done this much, but there seems to be so much still ahead of them. But it's when they suddenly realise that actually they're beginning to near the end, that finish line is, you know, it's coming up, that somehow they gather some strength and off they start trotting again, and maybe not with the vim and vigour that they maybe started with, but they run with that determination. And this is what God's saying to us, you know, that's what life's like. There are times when we're doing great and everything's good and God's blessing us and we're seeing him moving and we get really excited and we're saying, yes, Lord, this time, this is it. We're going to see revival and it's going to be great. And then we run with that for a bit and then we start to slow down a bit and think, oh, okay. But then God just shows it to us again and we start again. And when I read this verse, it always makes me think that, you know, I will run and not grow weary. They will walk. You know, we might not be able to keep running, but we can still walk and not grow faint. And I just felt this morning that God just wants to encourage. I don't know if it's just one person or if there are a few people here. I really felt that I needed to concentrate on this thing about waiting and how we wait. That I think that God wants to encourage people this morning to say, if you're in that middle section where you've been running and you've reached the point where you thought, you know what, this isn't working, this isn't happening, my prayers that I've prayed, really, I'm weary of praying them now. And God's saying, focus, be like that watchman, look for that light. That light's coming, that finishing tape on the marathon is coming. You might not be able to run at the moment, but you can walk. You can still put one foot in front of the other. Answer will come. You just need to hold on and keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. So, I wouldn't normally ask you to do this, but I just feel that actually there may be those of you who, as I've been speaking, you've sort of thought, yeah, actually, that's how I'm feeling, or that's where I'm at. I just feel like, you know, I'm waiting, but it's not happening. I'm not sure what I'm waiting for. I'm not sure if God's actually doing anything. Or maybe, you know, you've been ill for a long time and you've been waiting for healing and that's not happened. Or whatever, I don't want to put things in your mind because you will know if God is speaking to you. But if you feel you can, I think it would be good if we could close our eyes. And if that's you, that actually that you stand, because it's almost like a prophetic thing, really, isn't it? That if we're sitting, it's like we're not we can't move forward. But if we stand, we're ready to move. So let's just close our eyes. And if you feel that that's you, that you've been waiting for a long time and you're beginning to lose hope, then please stand and I'd love to be able to pray for you and you know, just ask that God does something incredible for you. Lord, we thank you that you are a God who never grows weary, who never tires. You are the everlasting God. You are the one who created everything, who created us. Lord, we thank you that we can come to you, that in our situations and in our circumstances, that you can bring hope. Lord, I pray for each person standing here this morning. Lord, whatever their circumstance, whatever it is that they are waiting for, whatever it is that they are looking for from you, that this morning, Lord, that you would raise them up on wings like an eagle. I pray, Lord, that you would help them to run and not grow weary. I pray, Lord, that you would help them to walk and not grow faint. I pray, Lord, that this morning there would be a turning point in their circumstances, in their situations. Lord, whatever that is, whether that's in seeing family members begin to change and come to know you, whether that's in finances where maybe people have been struggling, Lord, I pray that this morning there would be a turning in those situations. Lord, where it's health issues, where people have been waiting, Lord, I ask that you would that bring a change in those circumstances. Where it's family issues, personal circumstances, Lord, would you, by the power of your Holy Spirit this morning, step into those situations. Lord, I pray that people would begin to see that light in the darkness, that finishing tape, that just that sense that you are moving, that you are in those difficult situations. And I thank you, Lord, that you never, ever, ever leave us alone, that you never walk away from us, that you never get fed up of us, that you never tire of us coming to you and bringing our requests to you. And Lord, because you are a good and merciful God, because you are a generous God, Lord, we bring our requests to you. And Lord, we ask that you would change these circumstances this morning, because we ask it in your name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.